Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yep.
And as you know, before church, I came on to talk to you about it.
Yep.
You didn't win me over quite a while, but the Lord did.
Amen,
and
girl.
And we're singing that song all about God told me, he says, is it about you or is it about me?
Right.
And I said, oh, Lord, it's about you.
Amen.
It's about me. And it is. It's about him. What does he want?
That's right. Amen, girl. He wants his church to bring glory and honor to his name. Amen. That's right. Amen, girl. Praise the Lord. Any other words of encouragement, praises, or testimonies? Yes, ma'am, Carol. Yeah, amen. I'm all in some answered prayer. Yes, sir. Where were you at now? Stuck in a pipe rack. For how long? 30 minutes? And so you thought you'd sing you some victory in Jesus. Amen. Now, there you go. That's right. Praise God for victory in Jesus. Amen. All right, anything else? Words of encouragement? Yes, sir, brother. Oh.
I just praise God for a refreshing.
Yeah, it kind of cleans the air, don't it?
Kind of a flush. Get rid of that stuff as much as possible right now. Change another season.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen. Anything else? Yes, sir, Ron?
Just last Wednesday night, his parents had a little lesson for the children. And at the end of the thing, they would make up these little cards of, like, encouragement or say something nice to somebody and then give it to them. And your one little neighbor girl, Brianna,
yeah.
Brianna made one and gave it to me. And I was reading it and I'm just going, you know, that was such a nice note that she wrote that, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, she could have gave it to anybody, but why did she give it to me? That's what.
Yeah.
But it's just an encouragement that even at that age, they look and see what we are doing.
Oh, amen. Yeah, we're praying for little Brianna's salvation. So,
amen.
So God needs to get a hold of her and mom and dad and get a hold of that whole family. It'd be awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I know I'm always talking about my partner, but yeah. I pray, you know, he's so into video games and phones and
yeah.
That's not what's on the video game or what's on, you know.
Praise God. Amen.
Baseball or And we were sitting in the chairs at the island in the kitchen and talking about school, you know, Trisha homeschools him. And he says, we're in Revelation now.
Maybe. Amen. Come on with it, yeah.
So I didn't even have to prompt him. God is so good that I really didn't even go there expecting to hear him talk about Jesus or about the Bible. And God just
surprised you. Amen.
Just blessed my heart.
Praise God. Amen. Brother Marco. Amen. Yes, sir. Right. Keep them open when keep them open when you're driving, brother. God understands.
But you know, it's a long time having a vehicle sometimes I get stressed out about a lot of stuff. And I got really overwhelmed by God just telling me that He's in control.
Amen. Yeah.
So I'm blessed by you as my pastor.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah, I had a deacon friend once tell me God was in control. He spoke the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Carr, good to see you here tonight.
Amen.
We give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Shoot. Come on.
He's probably not going to live another week.
Right?
Gave his life to Jesus.
Come on, thief on the cross.
Amen.
Thief on the cross. Amen. Today.
He asked for forgiveness of his sins, except that Jesus is saved.
Thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. Praise God. Amen. Another one snatched out of the jaws of hell. I love it. Praise God, man. That's what it be about. Yeah. Come on. Down the road from here, there is a new ministry. It's called the Church Alternative. It's heading towards the dentist office when you head out of here towards Stagecoach. I assure you, this is going to be the church. There's not going to be any alternative but the church here.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
So, can you imagine? That's what's wrong with this country. We've got too much alternative church going on. Good night, nurse. But anyway, who knows? Maybe it's just for shock value, and there's really the preaching of the Word. Wish them the best if they're preaching God's Word and His gospel down there. Well, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to finish the book up next Wednesday. We're going to observe the Lord's... No, that's next Wednesday. Next Sunday evening, I'm going to finish this book. It's going to be in the record. We're going to share how many Bible studies and messages we brought on the book. We're going to tell you when we began the book. And we're going to end it next week if the Lord don't return and the creek don't rise. Come March the 12th, we're going to finish this bad boy up before we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I invite you to stand, 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to begin reading here in verse 14. We'll take it through verse 24. We've been plodding through this thing. I think this is about the third or fourth installment on these series of verses, beginning in chapter 16, verse 15, and taking it all the way through the end of the book. I'll start reading it here in verse 14. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads this. Let all that you do be done in... Now, urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. That you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Prisca, or Priscilla, depending on your translation. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Let's say that tonight. Holy kiss. One more time. Holy kiss. I know we don't do that, but I'm going to explain what we do that resembles a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be what? Accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we'll finish up verses 21 through 24 next Wednesday night. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your Word. We thank you that we can have church tonight, Lord, on a overcast evening, misting rain. Lord, we've got the sunshine of Jesus burning ever so bright in our hearts. Lord, we've got lights on in here and padded pews and air-conditioned air and a copy of your Word. Lord, I pray that we can pay attention, that we can listen. Lord, that we can glean some things out of your Word tonight. Lord, I know we've not come here to waste our time. I know we've come here to be blessed. But Lord, I pray that we would be a blessing. Lord, that we would give glory and honor to Your holy name. Thank You for loving us and thank You for saving us. It's in Your name we pray and God's people said.
Amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May God add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, I called some girls out today for talking, and I just want you to know that's been a long time coming. All right? I'm a patient old dog, but you can only push the preach so far. Amen? And when that choir was doing that special music, and I looked over there and saw what was going on with them three. It was really two of the three. I thought, I'm going to deal with that today. And Joe, I appreciate you for being lady enough to go sit between them. Amen? And that's all it needs to be. And let me just say this. I was those girls when I was their age. And look what God did for me. He called me, man. He called me. I think about the third or fourth time I came home and my dad got the report after working that overtime to pay the bills and to feed me, and he got the report I had acted a fool at church. About the third or fourth time, it might have been the fourth or fifth time, but I think it was the third or fourth, I got me one Bobby Jack butt whipping. You understand what I'm saying? The Bobby Jack butt whipping was the belt that had Bobby on the back of it, right? And man, I'm telling you, there was some Bobby on my rear end after it was over. From the indention of that name that said Bobby on that belt, right? You understand what I'm saying? I tell you what, I remember being at Sunny Glen, a Baptist church, in just the outskirts of Oak Cliff, Texas, almost into Duncanville, and me and my cousin, who was 18 months behind me, we always seemed to find a balcony, right? And so it was a deep, long sanctuary like this, and we had gotten up into the balcony, and we were not sitting with my aunt and uncle. And I remember that big old pastor, ex-football playing pastor, nose had been broke a half a dozen times, man. I mean, he was just a burly old dude. He was shelling the corn, and he kept looking up there. He kept looking at my aunt and uncle, and he kept looking up there. And I tell you what, when it was over, my uncle knew exactly what was going on when he stood up and saw us in that balcony. And he gave us the right act all the way home, and then he went in and he talked to my parents and friend, son. I think that was the last time I did that. I learned quickly. But I want you to understand something. I'm not being mean, but there's lost people here, and God's Word's got to go out and go forth. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And let me tell you something. It's going to sink in, and them girls are going to hear, and the salvation is going to drop. I'm telling you, it's coming. Bobby will continue to bring them. If you guys will give me the patience to work with them and the patience with them, God will drop salvation in that old heart of theirs. I'm telling you, it's coming. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We love them, amen? We love them. In these 10 verses that we have read this evening, either directly or indirectly, Paul is talking about what? Well, he's talking about love, praise God. He's talking about love in the fellowship of the church, or love that really needed to be in the fellowship of the church, and that was lacking in the church. Because the Corinthians, their greatest need was none other than all pervasive love. Therefore, Paul attempts one more time to further this great doctrine of love right here in these verses, as he ends this great book. Again, the passage is introduced by the command for them to love, verse 14, and concludes with the assurance that they themselves are loved. Now, we had gone to lunch. We went to lunch today with my wife's family over in Spring. My father-in-law, his health is declining, but my brother-in-law, his health with the ALS is really declining. It's really starting to grab hold of him. His speech pattern is a struggle. He's having difficulty eating, and so we will be spending more time when we can with that side of the family. But my aunt had driven in, 70's aunt, had driven in from Corpus Christi, and that was another reason we were there, just kind of having some family time. You know how that works and how that goes. And so the aunt brought up, how old's Aunt Sherry? 72? 74. Well, this gal, she's divorced, and then her husband, her ex-husband, finally passed away. She has got her, she's got her final wishes for her funeral, her memorial, or homegoing service. Buddy, she got it lined out to a T, right? I mean to a T. To the fact what makeup she wants applied on her face, how she wants her eyebrows painted on, right? She's getting her picture done Wednesday for the brochure, the program, the handout. She's getting that all done. Take care of that. And then she said, and by the way, you're in my plans. I said, oh, I am. Well, she wants me to officiate the service. Okay, that's fine. I asked her, I said, do you have a favorite verse? She says, it's in there. I go, do you have a favorite passage of Scripture? She says, it's in there. I go, well, you need to write down somewhere on your plans you don't want the service to go any longer than 30, 35 minutes, whatever. And the rest of the family was like, yeah, please do that, because they know me, amen. They were like, yeah, you better put that down, you know. That brother be preaching to us a long, long time, right? Because it's family, right? I mean, you do what you want to do with your family, right? With your immediate. So they said, yeah, okay, that'll be in there. But I said, Aunt Sherry, what is it that you want me to say? And she said, basically what she was telling me was 1 Corinthians 13. She goes, I want you to preach on love. Amen. That's what Paul wants these guys to get. He wants them to get the truth of this great love chapter that we covered several months ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? See, under the surface of Paul's closing greetings, we see reflected seven marks of love in the Christian fellowship. It's like a remix, almost, of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love seeks those that are lost. That's evangelism. That was verse 15a. Love is service to each other. That's ministry. That's the second half of verse 15. Love is submission to the leadership. That's verse 16. Love is companionship, verses 17 through the first half of verse 18. Love is respect for faithful workers. That's the second half of verse 18. And then the sixth one tonight that we ended with last time is love is hospitality. Say hospitality with me. Hospitality. You guys do this probably better than any church I've pastored. Hospitality. You get high marks for hospitality. Praise the Lord for you and your hospitality. Amen? Because you're not able to do this kind of hospitality if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? Verse 19 says, let me get to it here. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. As implied in these verses, love always produces hospitality. Love for fellow Christians. Amen? Love for fellow. You may not like your fellow Christians, but you need to love your fellow Christians. When God's people are committed to pure doctrine, when they're committed to everybody being on the same page about the Word of God, when they're committed to everybody attempting not to be perfect, because we're not going to be this perfect this side of glory, but to seek to live a pure and godly and holy and separated life, seek to get better, amen? Seek to make some Christian gains, seek to be discipled. When we all seem to do that together, we are bonded together in this common thing, this common love, amen? As individuals, we're bonded together. As congregations, other congregations like this one, we're bonded together with them. Even when separated by great distances overseas, halfway around the world, we are still bonded together with them. Distances make no difference in the world. Amen? Cultural difference makes no difference in the world. If we've got the same Bible, if we're living the same program, we are bonded together in love. The spirit of hospitality exists among loving Christians even when there is no direct opportunity to be hospitable. Well, we find out there's a need. Man, if we can meet a need, we try to meet the need. Amen? We're hospitable. Aquila and Prisca here that we've read about and talked about, Priscilla, if you want to call her, instead of Prisca, who are they? This couple had become what? They had become good friends of the Apostle Paul's. They were kind of Apostle Paul's posse. I mean, they kind of traveled and did things together. When he stayed at their house during his first ministry in Corinth, they became really close. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 says, after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And so theologians, commentators tell us that possibly Paul stayed with them the entire year and a half. That's a long time to open your home up, amen? To somebody that you just met, right? They were fellow tent makers, highly respected by the apostle and valuable to his ministry. They accompanied Paul to Ephesus and shortly after arriving demonstrated their thorough understanding of the gospel by taking the gifted Apollos, who was an incredible communicator of the gospel and the word of God. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Amen? You remember those stories as you've heard them through the years. In the early church, the homes of believers were used for almost every type of Christian activity that you could think of. But they didn't have the finances to do this. It was just out of reach in the first century. So for eating together, they didn't have a fellowship hall, so they just went from house to house. Acts 2:46 says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness in sincerity of heart for teaching and preaching. Acts 5:42 says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ for worship and preaching. Acts 20:7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Now, I'm sorry, we can't go to midnight tonight. Amen? Cannot do it tonight. We've got school tomorrow, right? Got showers to take, lunches to get fixed, and Pastor Steve has got to go to bed. Amen? There's a resurrection coming tomorrow morning, and I plan on making it. Amen? So we're not going to be able to do midnight tonight. For witnessing and discussion, Acts 28:23 says, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. Man, how would you like that? I mean, you're doing your deal, right? You're making your tents. You're eating your lunch, right? You've come back from the market, and you think you're going to do something, and here comes 10 people, followed by 20 people, followed by another 40 people. And all of a sudden, your house is what? Packed city. Your little courtyard, there's no room to move. Hey, do you have a restroom around here? Okay, well, yeah. And I mean, buddy, the food and the expense of it and everybody pulling together to make it happen, right? For witnessing and discussion. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. Now, that's hospitality, isn't it? You know, I've got a job to do and I've got things to take care of, but your nurture in the Lord, your salvation, whether or not you make heaven or hell, you know what? That's more important right now, and we're just going to shut it down and we're going to, from day to night, take care of you. Amen? That's hospitality, isn't it? Praise God, amen, for that. There were no strangers among believers back in the first century. It's amazing what persecution will do for believers. It drives them together. They become a force. They become one. There were no strangers among believers. Hospitality was a what? It was a second nature, a matter of course, a natural outgrowth of their love for Christ and for all who belong to Him. Every Christian home today, as we apply this passage, should be an open, transparent, and loving haven for those who need hospitality. Amen? When Christians traveled from place to place in New Testament times, they could expect, almost without exception, to be entertained with great care and love by fellow Christians. Now, I've kind of a disenfranchised Southern Baptist, I guess I am, but one thing I appreciate about Southern Baptists is when they hold their national convention, wherever it may be, if it's in Dallas or Washington State or if it's in Atlanta, Georgia, or whatever metropolitan area it is, they send out, they do a big blast to all the local churches in the area, to all the local pastors, and they ask people to open up if they have a family life center with showers and a kitchen, or if it's a smaller church and they have some members there. They ask people to open up their homes for people traveling into the community from all over the country that are Southern Baptists. I mean, some people are in churches that this would be a huge crowd for them. And, you know, they barely have enough funds to send their pastor to this thing or to send their messengers to this thing. They certainly don't have the finances for everybody to have a hotel room, right? And, man, that is biblical. That is New Testament. That is awesome. Amen? All right. Hospitality is not an incidental or optional virtue for Christians. Well, you know, that's not my spiritual gift. Well, Paul ain't asking you if it's your spiritual gift. Hospitality is not an incidental or optional virtue for Christians. From the earliest times, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the church had large numbers of widows. That's how we get to the institution of the diaconate. Those who qualified to be on a church's official list of widows had to be over 60 years old and have a reputation for doing good works, for being a good mother, and for showing hospitality to strangers. Are you with me so far? Paul goes on to illustrate the sort of hospitality he had in mind when he writes to Timothy while Timothy is in Ephesus. A qualifying widow must have done such things as washed the saints' feet, assisted those in distress, and devoted herself to every good work. In other words, hospitality gets you hospitality. See how that works? It'd be a two-way street. There is a principle of reciprocity going on here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 reads this: a widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. Praise God for hospitable ladies. Amen? The supreme mark of being a Christian neighbor is hospitality. And hospitality is a notable mark of Christian love. The outstanding mark of the Good Samaritan was what, church? Hospitality. Both directly and indirectly, the Good Samaritan did everything in his power to assist the man who was beaten and robbed. I'll remind you of the passage, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 33. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." Love is hospitality. I close with this tonight. Love is also affection. Love is affection. I want to tell you, now, I will say this. You are the most affectionate church I've ever pastored. There's a lot of hugging going on up in this place. A lot of hugging and backslapping and handshaking and just genuine care for each other. Love is affection. Look at verse 20 with me. We've already read, "All the brethren greet you." But look at the second half of verse 20. "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, don't do that to me. And if you are going to do that, don't sneak up behind me and do that. Amen? Unless you're my wife. All right? If you're another man and you tell me it's coming, I may be able to handle it. But will you sneak up behind me and do that? You're probably going to get an elbow just by reflex, amen? Unless you're my wife. But if I feel your whiskers on my face, brother, she ain't got none. I'm probably going to react inappropriate. Yeah, I'm probably going to react and react. Brother says, you're saved. Ain't got anything. All right. Love and the fellowship will be marked. Listen to me. It will be marked by outward, by visible signs of affection. Praise God for you that do that. In Scripture, kissing in a romantic sense between a man and a woman. You know what? It is referred to in the Word of God only twice. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 13, and Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 11. Every other reference to kissing has to do with the expression of affection between men and women and women, and not in some kind of perverted sense, but in a very genuine, caring, I love you kind of a way. Amen? The kiss was given on the cheek, not on the mouth. It was given on the cheek or the forehead, and it represented essentially what a hug that we do here or a warm embrace represents today. And that's what we do. Amen? So we basically doing what the Bible says to do, greet each other with a holy kiss. In our culture, it is a arm around the shoulder. It is a handshake and eyes locked. It is an embrace. Amen? That's what it is. And that's what we do, and praise God for you that do that, right? Because of our greater personal isolation today, such demonstrated affection between a persons of the same sex, it's sadly uncommon outside of churches like this. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, that's what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to separate us and divide us, because if we're not together, if we're not on the same page, we can't encourage one another, right? Boy, I'm telling you, when you're here, you encourage me. And when you come up, and whether it was a good sermon or not, but you just say, hey, man, glad to see you today. Glad you're feeling better, or how are you doing? Are you doing better, or whatever it may be, or aren't we having great weather? But when we have eye contact, when we laugh together, when we joke together, when we embrace together, boy, that's encouraging. I don't know if it's encouraging to you. It's encouraging to me, man. It's encouraging to me. It helps me. It wants me to be a better pastor, a better husband, a better father, a better Christian, a better disciple for Christ. We're in it together, amen? In it together, encouraging one another with that affection. Love is affection, right? The practice of the holy kiss was a beautiful, pure, and meaningful expression of brotherly love. Romans 16:16 asks us to do it. 2 Corinthians 13:12 asks us to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:26 asks us to do it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14 asks us to do it. Our current passage asks us to do it. Amen? Like other good practices, the holy kiss practice in later centuries, though, came to be abused. Everything good can be taken to the extreme. For example, holy kissing was practiced so indiscriminately that a church council in the 6th century outlawed the kissing of dead bodies. Once they passed on, there was no modern-day embalmment like we have today. And so they had to shut that down. But Paul was speaking, nonetheless, of the genuine and spontaneous expression of brotherly or sisterly love, which in that day often was expressed by a kiss. A warm, affectionate handshake or an arm around the shoulder expresses the same kind of affection. In most of the church today, the danger is in showing, are you ready for this? The danger is in showing too little affection. Too little affection. Rather than too much. Now, men ought not to be hugging women front on. We ought to be coming around to the side. If we are put in that situation, and it does happen a time or two, and it happens to me almost every Sunday, that's just the way, you know, the spontaneous hug happens. Boy, you just make sure you lean out. Amen. It's about cheek to cheek. It's not about body to body. You know, it's about shoulder to shoulder. It's not about body to body. That's not what it's about. It's about genuine camaraderie, genuine love. Amen. But the danger is showing too little affection rather than too much. And I will say this, and I love large churches. I've been on staff at two of them, and they have a purpose, and God has a plan for them and all of that. So I'm not dogging large churches tonight. But one of the dangers of large churches is that they easily allow strangers to remain strangers. They allow strangers to remain strangers. A shy person is often not noticed, and some Christians, unfortunately, do not want to get involved in the fellowship. A lot of times, folks that kind of just come in late at large churches and they leave early at large churches, the large church really doesn't want to reach them and get to know them, and the folks coming in and going out the door, they really don't want to be reached and known. I mean, it's kind of a common thing, right? Praise God we don't have that here. Amen? Praise God we can have some genuine affection for one another. But where there is genuine love, Christians will find ways to make friends with strangers and to show affection to Christian brothers and sisters. Friend, it's good to greet our visitors. It's good to greet one another. It's good to look one another in the eye. And even when you know that brother or sister is lying to you through their teeth, you ask them how they're doing, and you can see it in their face. They said they're doing fine or they're doing great, and you know and they know that they're not. It's okay to see that and to make a mental note of that and to pray for them. Amen? Sometimes getting to the bottom of it isn't right here before we have the message. Amen? Sometimes you just need to make a mental note, pray for them, and then be good to check on them the following week. Hey, I noticed you were just a little down. Don't even bring up the fact they said they were fine, because you know they were lying through their teeth. Don't even bring that up. Just, I noticed you were a little down last week. I want you to know I prayed for you this week. God's laid you on my heart. I've made intercession on your behalf. I hope you've had a better week this week. Amen? Or I missed you. I didn't see you in Sunday school. Right? Brother Kenneth told me, man, he totally spaced on the men's prayer breakfast. He told me years ago here, if he'd have done that, he'd got three phone calls before noon. Man, where were you? Right? What's going on? I just thought the deer had carried him off. Amen? I thought they protested. They did not get enough corn. They wanted more, and they had him surrounded, right? They were leading him down to the river, right? That's what I thought. But he said no, he just kind of spaced. But that's okay. Amen? You don't see somebody, pick up the phone, right? If you see somebody, say hi. Genuinely greet them in the Lord, amen? Right? You love them, amen? God loves you, God loves them. You know what? You better get used to them, because if they're saved and you're saved, you're going to have eternity with them, amen? You better get used to them. You better get your happy on about it, right? Because they're saved and you're saved. Buddy, you're saddled up for eternity. How long is that? It's a long time. Amen? Let's close it with a word of prayer tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to continue on in 1 Corinthians. Lord, we talked about hospitality tonight, and we talked about affection. And Lord, that's encouraging to this body, because this is a body of people that demonstrate hospitality. And this is a body of believers that genuinely know how to show affection for one another. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them for that, that you would affirm them in that, that, Lord, they would just continue in that. And, Lord, you would be glorified in that. Lord, that would add to your praise and your worship. Your children getting along, your children loving one another, your children on the same page. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just continue to use this old church. Bless it. Grow it, Lord. May you use us in spite of us. And Lord, may you just bring honor and glory to your name through us. May we be a light. Lord, may we shine bright. May we take the message of love out. And Lord, may we be your mouthpiece. May we be your hands. May we be your feet. May we be your prayer warriors this week for those that are desperately struggling, for those that are desperately lost, for those that are desperately in need. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We're eternally grateful for our salvation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed. Y'all have a blessed trip home. Take your time. Visit with one another. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer time.